Welcome to a very special emergency Internet Explorers. We had to do it. I'm Tim Geddes, joined by the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
Is this what I've gotten 48 mentions from in the last 30 minutes from? Okay, gotcha. Oh,
yeah, that's not enough. Not enough mentions, Andy. We also have the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
I'd just like to firmly welcome Andy to the Internet Explorers team. I hear he did a great job in my absence last week, and he'll never be on the show again.
He did great. We are, in fact, the Internet Explorers. And if there's anything you guys know about Internet Explorers, that we love Vin Diesel. And we love looking at his Instagram all the time, every week. We do the check-ins, how many days until Fast 9, all that stuff. Nick, you missed an amazing episode last week where Andy came on and there were teases of him putting out a song. Yeah. I didn't believe it. We didn't think it was going to happen this soon. But there were teases. And then we went back and watched him, just clips of him singing in other appearances. And what was the song, Andy?
Oh, happy day when Jesus walks. That's how I had
it. Can I ask you this before we get into it? And I know the answer to this question already. It's rhetorical. But is Vin Diesel a good singer?
Nick, let me put it this way. This happened this morning. I'm freaking out. I'm laying in bed. I'm playing on Spotify. And I don't show Gia. I don't tell Gia. I just let it play. And I'm just staring at her. And she's like, what? And I was just like looking at her. And she's listening. She goes, is that Vin fucking Diesel? Yeah, it is, dude. So maybe that answers your question.
I cannot wait for this. We had someone submit this for screencast, which we're doing right after this. And Tim, I was going to surprise you with that. I can't surprise you with any of this shit, but I was going to do that as a top news story. But I'm glad we're doing it here with Andy Cortez.
It just feels
with
right.
Kevin Coelho. It feels right. And I just want to say right off the bat, his album art spot on. It really is nailing the vibe of Vin Diesel's Instagram.
Exactly. It's beautiful. It's such a beautiful thing. All right. Without further ado, let's get into it. Feel Like I Do by Vin Diesel.
I love that it's a dance mix.
It's pretty good.
It's a lot of auto-tuning happening in there, guys. It sounds a little bit like Randy Newman's trying to get into pop. Much auto-tune.
Camo6 says this is some 2006 Pixar movie end credit shit.
Yes, it's Randy Newman in a nutshell.
No, dude, this is...
It's also like if Justin Bieber did this song, I'd be like, this makes sense. But Vin Diesel dipping his toe into this is so...
I love
it. It's so fucking weird, it's perfect.
I love it. This is going to be Mia Gia's wedding song.
Yes! Can I sing it though? And can you just auto-tune me to sound like Vin Diesel? Can me and Andy do a live version of Vin Diesel's Feel Like I Do at your wedding? 100%.
This feels like the inspirational montage scene in a movie converted from a Hank Green book.
Oh like my the, lord. This young, is definitely like a young had, adult thing.
The girl had cancer and then she survived it and she fell in love with a dude. Like that's kind of what it reminds me of.
So what's the over-under on either this song or him on a song in Fast 9?
Oh, I mean, I think that... The thing is this, I think this might be just a product of him not having anything to do right now because they can't film. So I feel like he was just like, hey, I got to do something with my immense creative talents.
Yeah.
Let's call up whatever the producer is that's 14 that made this beat that probably is a multimillionaire. Let me get on this track right now. Let me call up my boy Bieber to write the lyrics for me. And let's just go. Let's just see where it goes.
I mean, a lot of people learned how to make bread in quarantine. And Vin Diesel made bangers. Like, this is what he's doing. This is what he's figuring out.
I love
this. Are we going to react to the video from Kelly Clarkson's live show?
We are. I wanted to at least get that far because I wanted to see if there was a key change. And I'm
no.
He can't very disappointed, that, bro. He can't go any higher than that.
Well, there's like 30 seconds left in the song. Don't, you know, Vin Diesel surprised me before.
All right. Now, Nick, have you seen this?
No, I saw some stuff about this.
So this is it. Kelly Clarkson show, they did a fucking listening, a debut of this song. I'm not really sure, but they had a live audience and this is their response and it's out of sync and it is fucking everything.
Okay. I love it.
This is Internet Explorers in a nutshell.
Oh, they responded to this?
And Kelly Clarkson, this is her live audience, right?
Oh God, it looks like a bunch of worms just squiggling around. Dude, the live audiences via Zoom don't work. It doesn't work. Stop it.
I can't do this. This fucking is can't so look at it, man.
Fucking weird and awkward. Look at that guy. Oh,
yeah, red shirt.
God, don't that poor mean. Guy.
Jesus Christ, he's just watching God. The show.
I can't.
They're literally all dancing of these people to Vin Diesel singing. Show us this one more time, I swear.
This is a scene out of Idiocracy, man. Like, there can be no more live shows, so this is how the audiences are, and we're dancing to a live song from Vin Diesel.
Camo what? 6 says, I'd lose my shit if Nick was just in one of those frames, and this was his reveal to the guys.
Okay, here it goes, guys. Here's your Camo 6. Here's your task of the day. Put me doing this in every one of those screens.
Do you want me to give them a wider shot so it looks like those?
Yes, please do. Here's the thing. KFAF had to die in order for Internet Explorers to take all the best bits, including the Photoshop challenge. Your Photoshop challenge for this is to make us in all of these.
I want all of us. We got to dance real quick, but I want all of us in all of these. I don't know how we're going to do it. It's going to take forever to composite, and you have to motion track.
The problem
is, let's be honest, we have nothing better to do.
A lot of motion tracking.
It's all square, though. It's easy.
Well, no, those are rectangles. They're double the shot you guys.
Yeah, but
are.
They're not like.
It'll just be
you
a
can
spe-
you can roto them out easily. Is all I'm saying.
It'll be a big zoom in on Nick's face. It'll just be a giant.
Kev, can you?
It's going to take a couple days, but I feel.
Can
like
you
we
give
can
them
do
the it. Best shot that you can to get
I
people
mean,
some
honestly,
good footage?
Honestly, like I don't have much height that I can give them.
That's all we need right here. It's fine. Yeah. They can just do my face.
Huge. You could just loop. You could just loop this, dude. Like. Just clap along.
No, Tim, you can't have your arms out. There it is. It's gonna be great content.
Can you imagine, again, like just showing this to somebody from from 2 years ago, maybe even last year, and say, this is what the future has in store.
Can you imagine showing this to someone when, like, stay at home thing kicked
shelter
in,
place.
Shelter in yeah. place kicked in, and been like, hey, this is gonna be, 6 months away.
Yeah, that's
and
what I'm saying.
Like,
Kevin.
No,
it's so bizarre. Like,
you can't
all
get
of
that
this,
bad.
All of this is so Black Mirror-ish, dude.
Yeah,
and it's satire. All this is like satire of ourselves.
Here's what you do. Here's what you do. Because I'm thinking about this. Here's what you do. You want to make this easier on yourself, Cambo 77. You do a still frame of this. You roto all those out in Photoshop, use it as a mask, and then you put us back in the back. Like, you don't have to have movement. You can fake the movement a little bit. Fuck, I can do this. I'm doing this today. Guys, I need 20 minutes of you dancing, Kevin, you as well. And I need, Kevin, here's the thing.
20
Kevin,
minutes.
Kevin, I need you to memorize the lyrics. You can't be reading off the screen. I need you to memorize the fucking lyrics of the song and sing along with it, because I'm going to cut to you in the album art. Right there. I'm going to cut to you in there.
Oh man,
this is the greatest thing that's ever happened to us. This is gonna bring the country together.
It's crazy how much it really does sound like.
Who the fuck looked at this and was like, yeah, we nailed it? What producer looked at this and was like, this is a great idea? Also, they're all against the same white wall. Did they bring them in and film them separately? And if so, why would you not sync them up? They're I guess that guy's against his door. That poor guy in the red shirt's like, fuck my life.
No, this is like their live audience watching it, Nick. It's like when you see at the NBA games, you see people in screens watching the game in real time.
Okay, so I thought they were all against the same white background.
Rewind really quick.
Is that someone we know? Do we know this person?
Those black kids in the top right, they're the React kids
from
YouTube.
Whoa!
That's
oh my God! These Nick, kids like we watched them like 2-3 weeks ago on Internet Explorers.
They reacted to
I'm going to say this, Tim.
Phil Collins.
Yeah, Phil Collins.
I'm going to say this, Tim. They, within I have to imagine, roughly fewer than 18 years of life have gotten themselves on the Kelly Clarkson show. You have yet to get yourself on the Ellen DeGeneres show, which, that's by the true, way, probably worked in your favor in the last year.
At this point.
But as of a year ago, you're fucking up, man. You're about 13, 11 years behind. So get your
I would have given anything to be in this fucking audience right now.
I was going to talk so much, Matt, because I was, well, I mean, before I noticed that the YouTubers, the famous YouTubers with a lot of views on their shit were on the top right, I was about to say, how do you, like, you don't,
I wager to say, like, some of these people are like YouTubers as well, or influencers as well.
Are they on lunch break? Like, why? I don't know. I would just be like, no, you're not going to. I can't let you take a day off from work to be on the Kelly Clarkson show.
Well, Andy, everyone's at home anyway. So what's the day? Like right now, I fucking, for all I know, Greg could just be taking a nap. I don't know what he's doing. Everyone's at home. It doesn't matter.
Dude. Andy, I'm so happy.
And also, I just want you guys to know.
How did this gift give even more to us? I love that you've spotted those kids.
I'm letting you know, I will 100% authorize you going on any show you want as long as you dance like these idiots and embarrass yourself, because that will be the gift to me that keeps on giving.
Oh, my God.
His voice sounds like someone slowed down the playback of someone else's voice. it's one of the top comment. That's fucking great.
Oh, that's great. Man. I love it so much. Here's the question that I pose to you guys right now. All right. We had to do this emergency Internet Explorers.
I love it.
For screencast, we're talking about the boys. Yeah. How do you want to handle this? Do you want to just keep going?
I think we just keep going and turn it into screencast. Who cares?
This is
perfect. We can talk about the boys and Vin Diesel. I'll do the ad at some point. It'll be perfect.
Do you want me to, like, change the background and stuff, because I could do that on the fly.
I mean, whatever you want to do, big cat. It's not
for
me.
For people wondering, Joey said that she was going to bow out of this episode. Just you know, some people. Yeah,
she's
like,
not into the boys that much.
Y'all right. didn't invite Joey back, but yeah, she was.
No,
like,
she's Joey's
for
welcome on the show.
Everyone else wondering, yeah, you guys just watch me get cut from the episode. So.
Oh,
but Kevin, your presence is always felt.
Yeah,
always felt.
I'm in the Matrix, Nick.
100.
Oh, you guys can't see.
No, we can't see.
Damn it.
Can't see you, can't see.
Kevin, can someone do me a favor though, and just please, I need this today. At least composite Kevin's face onto the album art. I need you to dance and sing in Vin Diesel. I want Kevin to sing the whole album, and then I need someone who's good at auto-tuning to auto-tune it so it's perfect.
I can auto-tune. No disrespect. I got that here.
But Kevin, your pitch is not that great, and that's not a slight against you. I need someone who's just like,
feels like
Corey
a slight
McMaster's
against me, you son of a bitch.
You need somebody like Vin Diesel with perfect pitch. Because
I'm sure Vin Diesel has perfect pitch. I'm sure he's got perfect pitch.
Here's the thing: I need you to activate your auto tune, and I need you to sing this song.
Fucking please, okay? Kevin. I need it.
Tim.
Mm-hmm. Kevin.
Mm-hmm. This is one of my things. You know it. You're crossing a line right now.
But you have the auto tune. It'll make you sound good.
Just sing into it. I'll do it with you. We'll do it together.
No. I like Gary Wood. Gary Wood is the only person that's going to get me to sing. All
right. Fucking Tim, call Gary. We need him right now.
No, that's
call
not
him
what
and,
I meant.
And tell him
that's
to ask
not
Kevin
what I meant.
To sing the Vin Diesel single. Kevin, this is what the world fucking needs, man.
Also, I don't. The auto tune right now is not working.
Send it to me. I'll auto tune it.
Wait, why is it not working, Kev?
Oh man, I mean, I don't know. Earlier when I started, the people
liar.
Were like, "Oh, we can't hear."
He's
you.
He's a liar.
I'm not.
He doesn't want to do it. It's okay. It's okay.
I mean,
what's
yes,
up, everybody?
I very
Welcome
much do
Screencast.
Not
want to
do it.
I get it. Hold on. I just want a picture of Kevin on the album art, man. Someone put Milk Mommy on the album art.
Right. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, Nick? You get a little ad noise filter in Photoshop.
Get the little wash. It's so good. Actually, you could just do it. Just put a white background, like a gradient background, put a shit ton of noise in it, and then just like color correct it. It's perfect.
Have some orange kind of on the top right, and then set it as an overlay or a soft light, kind of have it coming in. Yeah, like
Christ, Daddy, I love it.
Nick, in the Discord chat, I put a link to the lyrics of this song.
Thank you.
I'd like you to read them, please.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'd love to do that. That sounds great.
The font is, I think, Century Gothic for anybody out there wanting to do this.
Ladies and gentlemen, Feel Like I Do by Vincent Diesel, produced by Kygo, who I'm assuming.
Kygo's dope.
Sir Kygo, Vincent Diesel.
Sir Vincent Diesel, the third Esquire. Verse number one. Who goes out on a Tuesday night in this bar's too quiet and the cover band is too loud. Step outside. I'm about to leave when you are right on by and I'm just breeze. Bridge. All of to find. I don't. There's a question mark in there. I'm not quite sure.
I don't think the person writing the lyrics knew what that meant.
Yeah. Probably. He's probably like these. Some words Vin Diesel indecipherable.
Vin Diesel wrote them at night. Woke up the next morning. He's like, "Fuck, I don't know what I wrote."
Oh, remember that?
I use the word breeze. All of the blank to find someone to hit me like you, and oh, I guess all of the time to find someone to hit me like you, and I'm not the type of guy who likes to rush in, but I want to. Chorus, I don't know you, but it feels like I do, and I was frozen when you walked in the room, because every single word, it just makes my stomach turn, because I don't know you, but it feels like I do. This sort of feels like to me that he's writing about my experience last night drinking too much almond milk. Because it made my stomach turn a little bit too. So really?
Why do you keep drinking too much almond milk?
That's the only lyric,
Kevin. I pretend like it's a melted vanilla sundae, like a parfait, and I sip it.
It's delicious.
And I sip it.
And then I eat my vitamins for my hair, and then I eat too many of them, Andy, and then it makes my stomach ache.
Yeah, they're not gonna eat all of those gummy bears. You're not supposed to eat them.
I know you can't eat. Like, you can't eat more than four. More than four gives you a little bit of a. Tim, should I keep going or are we done with?
No, I think we're good. There's not many lyrics left because it just kind of starts repeating itself. But I think we get
somebody
the point.
Put my
across.
Face on it here. You can put my face on it.
You know,
I like that he's always slightly looking to the left of the lens on the
there's
iPhone.
One thing, obviously, like we're making a lot of fun here, right?
Fuck
we're having a lot of jokes with this, but there is a level of carefree that I really envy with Vin Diesel. Like the ability to not only do this, but have so much confidence in it. And I envy that. I wish I had that. I wish I could just say, fuck it, I'm going to put out a song and it's going to be sick and everybody's going to love it. And these jackasses on an internet show are not going to make fun of it. I wish I had that power.
Totally. The thing is, I think you're thinking about it wrong. I think he just doesn't care because he knows that though we are making fun of him, we love him.
Oh yeah.
Like I think this song is absurd. I don't think it's a good song. Having said that, when I get in my car later, Tim, I am going to fucking blast this song
in my
neighborhood.
Yes, you are.
To celebrate Vin Diesel because even though I don't think he's a great artist, I fucking love him and I want him to succeed no matter what. I would love it if he made something like another Riddick so I could actually like not be ashamed to love him. But hey, you know what? Beggars can't be choosers. I know.
And that's awesome.
I know. He's giving us what we want and he's giving us more than that. It's like getting Taco Bell, but then also someone brings you a burrito from the corner store and you're like, and that's what this song is. It's a burrito from the corner store. And you're like, I don't want that. It's going to make me sick. But you know what? You're going to give me Taco Bell eventually. So I'll just eat it all, Vin Diesel.
I love it. We are officially 189 days away from Fast 9 being in theaters. Kev, can you please bring up
Vin Diesel's Instagram? Yeah, I'm just very confused. So this is just now Internet Explorers? Just to be clear?
It's both. It's Internet Explorers cross screen.
Okay, but for time codes, what am I right now?
The lines are blurred, Kevin.
The lines are blurred.
We can just do this as an Internet Explorer. No, we have to do the boys. We have to do the boys.
Here's the thing.
I did a plot summary.
It's an Internet Explorers, but we will review the boys in it.
That sounds good. That sounds good. Just put Internet Explorers cross screencast. Vin Diesel, the boys.
I hate you. KFAF, I hate all of you.
Kevin, the thing is, everybody wanted the morning show back. It's here.
It is.
It's here.
Yeah.
Here's what you need for time codes. Just have Internet Explorers, Vin Diesel, and then screencast, boys, season 2, episode 6 review.
All right.
Cool.
Perfect.
Cool.
Perfect.
Now,
Jayshaw in chat makes a great point. We have transcended time codes, Kevin. That's so true. We have transcendent.
I mean, if you've gotten this far into watching us talk about Vin Diesel's new song, you're here for the whole voyage, the bon voyage.
I love it, man. Now, here we have his Instagram, and Nick, you missed it, but he once again posted the same fucking Photoshop of Paul Walker in the sky.
I'm sorry. Can I air my grievance now, please, Andy and Tim? And Kevin, do you mind if I have the fucking mic for a second?
Go ahead.
Why was this not his album art? You motherfucker, Vin Diesel.
That's true. Wow.
With the disrespect for Paul Walker that this shows, but not. I mean, you could have put the orange wash on it and made it, I guess, more grainy.
Nick, based on all the rumors and leaks that I've been reading on the subreddit, this is the reversible side of the cover.
Oh my God. Yeah. You open it up and it's just
collectible.
Oh,
yeah.
I would like
Cameron
to issue
Kennedy
an apology.
Cameron Kennedy in the chat says that's not a Photoshop.
That's just what happens when he goes outside. That's
amazing. They captured that.
So he posted the album art of the I Feel Like I Do 12 hours ago. So there's a little tease that I knew it was coming. So I was very excited to wake up to this. But in between that, he did post this other picture, Kev, that you are just on. For so long, I've been promising to release music, encouraged by you, to step out of my comfort zone.
No one's done that.
Thank you for believing in me. As always, I hope to make you proud. And then he has this picture.
He's a brick house, right?
That's when you first started using Photoshop back in like 1994, and they had three filters, and one of them was brick eyes. Or you know what I mean? You remember that where it was like texturize and it made it into a brick? That's what this is.
You use the mosaic tile like brick thing. This is CS2 all over again, Nick.
God, he's beautiful.
He's beautiful.
The thing about Vin Diesel that I just respect is that this is all serious. He's not doing this to fuck around, and he's doing it like when a kid like draws a picture of the family and it looks horrible, but you're like, it's so pure and perfect and beautiful, even though it's fucking terrible, that I have to love it. I love Vin Diesel. If he had a Patreon, I would put money toward him, even though he's a fucking billionaire. He should run for president. That's all I'm going to say.
He should. He should. What a magical man. Anyways, let's get to the Boys Season 2, Episode 6 review on Kind of Funny Screencast. But before we do that, Nick, you want to tell us about the sponsors?
I would love to tell you guys about our sponsors. We have our two sponsors bringing you the show today is Manscaped and Keeps. And let me take a second to tell you guys about Manscaped first off. Did you know, Tim, do you have a moose near your caboose? Where is Moose right now? Is it near your caboose?
Moose is upstairs. He ain't near my caboose, but he is a little fluff nugget.
That's good. And if you have a little fluff nugget near your caboose, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about that hairy big and something. Okay, whatever. Thankfully, our sponsor today, Manscaped, has you covered to keep that hair looking nice and trimmed and feeling fully supported in case anyone wants to pet it. I put that last part in Manscaped. What are you going to do? Manscaped offers precision engineering tools for your family jewels. You know, we're hairy human beings here, ladies and gentlemen. There's no surprise there. Tim's a hairy beast. I'm Italian, for Christ's sake. So manscaping is incredibly important. That's why we love having Manscaped as our sponsor. They make awesome tools, just like this ball hair trimmer that they've created, the Lawnmower 3.0. The premium Lawnmower 3.0 is waterproof, includes an LED light, and is made of advanced skin-safe technology, which reduces nicks and cuts on your delicates. If you've ever cut yourself down there, you know what pain is. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. You can get this trimmer inside the Perfect Package 3.0, which also includes the Manscaped Crop Preserver, Ball Deodorant, and Crop Reviver Ball Toning Spray, both super practical, and they smell great too. Plus, for a limited time, when you order the Perfect Package Kit, you get two free gifts, the Shed Travel Pack and the Manscaped Anti-Chafing Boxer Briefs. The Manscaped Anti-Chafing Cooling Boxer Briefs might be one of our favorites in the collection. The Boxer Briefs have optimal temperature control with their crop cooling technology, which keep your pride and joy supported. The waistband is also super elastic to reduce chafing, rubbing. Plus, when you see, when your girl sees this logo, she knows she's got a real Manscaped man. Here's how you take advantage of this. I'm sorry. Pair these boxer briefs with your pH balanced liquid product like the Crop Preserver, and you're ready for anything. You guys got to try this stuff out. Keep it clean. Keep it safe. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code MORNING at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code MORNING. From the moose to the caboose, always use the right tools for the job. Next up, ladies and gentlemen, we have Keeps. We love what you do and want to hear. Excuse me, I apologize about that. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, Keeps is a service that will allow you to keep your hair. Andy and I have both suffered from hair loss over the years, and services like this are what's keeping this bad boy tight. You want to see it, Tim?
Show me it. Oh, there it is.
Yeah. Daddy's growing a mullet because he did something about his receding hairline when he was 25, and you can too. As guys, so much of our identity is wrapped up in our hair, from how it feels after getting a fresh cut to the way it's perfectly styled before going out. That's why when we get into our 20s and 30s and start noticing the first signs of hair loss, it definitely feels like panic time. And trust me, Andy and I, we can both attest. It's scary as hell because let's face it, no guys ever want to go bald. Thankfully, now there's Keeps, the simple and easy way to keep your hair. 2 out of 3 guys will experience some form of male pattern baldness by the time they're 35. The best way to prevent hair loss is to do something about it while you still have the hair. You used to have to go to the doctor's office for hair loss prescription. Now, Thanks to Keeps, you can visit a doctor online and get hair loss medication delivered right to your home. They make it easy and deliver your medication every 3 months, so you can say goodbye to pharmacy checkout lines and awkward doctor visits, which is nice, especially right now. These are the only two FDA-approved hair loss products out there. You may have tried them before, but probably never at this price. Keeps treats treatments typically take between 4 to 6 months to see results, so it's important to act fast. The sooner you start using Keeps, the more hair you'll save. Find out why Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and more than 100,000 men trust Keeps for their hair loss prevention medication. Keeps treatments start at just $10 a month, plus a limited time. You can get your first month for free. Here's how you do it, ladies and gentlemen. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/morning to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/morning. Keeps.com/morning. Get over it and get that mullet going right here. Boom. All right, Tim. We're back.
We are back. Now, are Nick, you said there? Something to make the show even more chaotic than it already is.
Yeah.
I got a quick story for you. Earlier you mentioned us being hairy people and being Italian, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So I, over this last week, had a revelation that is insane to me. But essentially, and I've told bits and pieces of this before on the podcast, but there's now the wall's been broken down, so I know more information.
I'm scared about whatever you're about to say.
So I did the 23andMe thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
My dad's sister did 23andMe, and then it was revealed that she actually has a half sister that we didn't know about.
That's
so I have
crazy.
An aunt that I didn't fucking know about. I don't know why I say we. My aunt contacted her. They've now become close. They've dived deeper into this whole thing. Turns out there's a whole fucking network. There's a whole side of a family that is related to me that I never knew, that I didn't know was related to me. That both my grandma and grandpa were just whores. They were just out there sowing their seeds every which goddamn way. And what's crazy is I've always grown up hearing bits and pieces of this story, but it's never added up to me. But my last name, Geddes, shouldn't be my last name. And I finally now know why. It's because my grandpa fled Italy and had to hide for some dumb bad shit that he did.
Oh, no.
And his name was Bertone.
Yeah,
my last
it
name
is.
Should be Bertone.
Tim Bertone. I knew it. I knew by that nose you were an Italian.
But anyway, this is just like the most mind fucking blowing thing where it's like I have this whole other side of a family that I'm like, what the shit?
Dude, anyways, Bertone's a dope ass Italian.
It is. I'm happy with Tim Geddes though. Tim Geddes has like a something.
Tim Geddes a better stage name. Tim Bertone sounds like you should own a restaurant in Napa that I can't get into.
Here's the thing. And you know, obviously we're going through a different last name change. I think we also have to just change the first name at this point. What go Barry Bertone? You know what I mean? Like,
hell yeah, Bert. Just go for it, Bert Bertone.
I'm just thinking of like words that could go to get like I don't know, man. I really want to think on this and just like create your alter ego.
Mm-hmm.
But I love Barry Bertone.
Barry Bertone.
Anyways, life's fucking weird. Let's talk about the boys.
That is wild, ladies and gentlemen. You've come here for our review of Vin Diesel's album, and you've stayed for our review of The Boys. Let me pull this up. I think I lost my web browser here. I lost it, Kevin. Where's my web browser? Episode 6 is right here, ladies and gentlemen, called Shut the Bloody Doors. No, what is it called? The Bloody Doors Off. Episode 6. We are almost done with this series, right? There's only 8 episodes in season 2.
2 more left, yeah.
Let's go into some spoiler-free thoughts on this episode before we get into it. And guys, I did, just in case you're wondering, I missed it. I did a quick, what I'm calling a top-level plot recap, or TLPR. It's about 20 lines, and I can read that for you when we get into spoilers, if you'd like.
I would like that. Now, before we even get into that, I do want to say there's two news stories real quick that I just want to throw out there because you said there's 8 episodes. First off, breaking news that happened. There's going to be Samuel L. Jackson's going to be in some Disney Plus Marvel Studios show. That's
cool.
That's exciting stuff. I imagine it's going to be sword related. Whatever. Cool. That's cool. But cool and on topic, Boys spinoff announced.
Yeah, I did see that. I apologize. Yeah, they announced that
there's going to be a Boys spinoff coming out that is a college comedy show where it's about a superhero college of kids like trying to like get recruited in all the big cities to be their main superheroes.
Wow. It's like the very first episode of The Tick. Happy.
I'm sorry. Nick, you went Sky High instead of
X. Sky High. Mm-hmm. No, Sky High.
Bless you, you sweet man. I love that movie. Sky High is great. I really enjoy that movie way more than I should.
This is My Hero Academia, man. Except the heroes of My Hero Academia, like one of the dudes. Let me just explain to you one of the powers of My Hero Academia so you get a taste for how weird the powers are. One guy can grow camera lenses out of his body.
Cool.
That's just like
that makes that's sense. That makes sense.
I don't know why. Sense. He's just a photographer.
The boys have some weird shit too that I'm sure we'll get into in a second. Oh, but yeah. So spoiler free. The show continues to just be fucking awesome and dominate. Right. And I love that these episodes don't give a shit about runtime. This one was like, what, an hour and five minutes?
Yeah.
And it's just like fucking awesome. And again, I said this last week, but I love that as I'm watching the episode, it never feels like, oh, we're in the middle of the episode. Now we're at the end of the episode. Every moment feels like the episode could end right there because there was some crazy cliffhanger or some big reveal or something just happened. And it's just exciting thing after exciting thing. And there's some plot lines that I think that we're kind of like, I'm happy to see kind of coming into an end. But there's other ones that I'm like, well, it's been a while since we've seen that. I don't know where that is. Mm-hmm. But the main plots of episode 6, I'm just like, holy shit, this show is rad.
I haven't felt this way about a show. And like, it's rare that you get this feeling where it's so consistently good. And like Watchmen is an example. Having seen Watchmen, and then I think of like season one of True Detective, where every episode just felt super important, and there was no filler, and everything they're showing you needed to be shown, and even little small things that they're showing lead into things later on. I'm just like, I'm constantly blown away by this damn show. Last night's episode was so awesome, and I had like several moments where I'm just like fucking jaws on the ground because I can't believe what I'm seeing. So good, dude.
I'm there with you as well, guys. I think the main story arc for me is still compelling, and they managed to sort of dip into some of the backstories for some of the lesser characters in this that I thought was really, really fun. Or not fun, but like heart-wrenching and crazy. And also there's a couple of cameos in this one. I guess we saw him last episode, but
so cool.
They brought in. I don't want to spoil it, but
let's get spoilers. It's spoiler mode now.
All right, let's spoiler mode.
Well, like when we do the spoiler mode, let's keep on giving time for people to change the episode so they can click off of their phone. All right, that's enough time. Cool. Sean Ashmore, man.
Fucking A. What?
And on top of it, he's now Pyro.
I know.
Him playing with the lighter, I was like, this is so weird and specific. I just fucking love it.
It's such a great Easter egg it's not that big of an Easter egg for anyone who likes X-Men or has watched any of those movies. The idea of him playing with the lighter and being brooding and all that stuff is just such a funny little reference to the guy that played Pyro. And like, sucks for him, right? Because he's like, fuck, I originated the role of the guy who could play with fire from a Zippo lighter. Why didn't they call me Tim? Yeah. Why didn't they call me Tim Bertone?
Dude, Sean Ashmore looking skinny as shit.
That's good. He has a twin brother, right?
There was an Ashmore brother.
Yeah. I feel like it would have been hilarious if they just cast him instead and be like, oh, we got the wrong one. Sorry.
Dude, I loved it because him being in this, like his storyline, everything they did with him was cool. I like that we had a kind of new character introduced here, both from a superhero perspective and from just him being there. Like Lamplighter, what a doofus looking ass guy. But I loved the way that they set it up and continue to build this world. But continuing to have the ability to just throw in a cameo and have it not be distracting. Like, I feel like last season they had, what's his name? The Sixth Sense kid.
Haley Joel Osment.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
And like having him was great, you know? And it's like, I just think that it gives a legitimacy to this show that obviously look at the budget, look at just like what the show is and the type of original it is. This isn't on the level of a Game of Thrones or Breaking Bad or something. It doesn't need to be. No. I feel like it works with what it has so well and continues to surprise me when it has big cameos like that are like, oh shit. Like, yeah, it kind of is on another level.
It's kind of one. It definitely is on another level for me where I don't know if I've ever been impressed by the writing in this show. Like there hasn't been, and I guess I'm more impressed by the comedic chops, obviously, because of the team behind it. And I feel like the writing in some of the best shows are what separate the best shows from middle of the pack shows. This game has never, or this show has never really had a long sort of Breaking Bad type monologue, Game of Thrones type monologue, where you're like, whoa, dude, like these writers went off here, dude. This shit's like God tier. I haven't really experienced that in this show. It's just more of the character interactions, the cool twists you didn't really see coming. I think just the story's so fascinating and so good. And when you start kind of connecting the dots as the episodes go on, the lady from second episode of the first episode gets her head exploded, and now we see what Soup did that, and it's the girl from the jail that just got released or whatever, the one who's hitchhiking at the very end. She's the one who probably exploded that woman's head, you know.
We don't know that though. We can there's no one yet, so we're not quite
really
sure.
I gotta assume, because I like when and I so see it, when I see this Soup explode that guy, I go, oh, she's the one who fucking did that. I guess that's like where my brain immediately went. Is
possible.
That
possible?
That's cool.
I didn't confirm. I didn't tie it together, but that's cool. I didn't realize that. I just thought she's been in that jail forever because she's super scary. I think her name was Cindy or Sin or something like that. I was trying to figure out what it was, but I was a little tired last night when I was doing this top level plot synopsis.
Hey, we've spent way too long talking about the show in a spoiler capacity without mentioning the big dick.
Oh, that big old doink doink. Man, I'll tell you what, right now, there's a shot where he tries to strangle Laz Alonso with it, and then they show it receding into his pants, and then they, just in case you didn't see it, they cut closer to it as like the last foot of it goes back into his shorts. And I'll tell you what, man, one time when I was like younger, I saw one of my neighbors like working on his car, and he was hanging brain, and that was shocking. This reminded me exactly of that. I was like, excuse me, sir, your balls are showing.
I'm glad you told us. I'm glad you told us.
You're welcome. Yeah,
that was a sort of weird moment when we see the thing wrap around his neck. You're like, what the fuck is this? What kind of? And then you immediately kind of put it together. Yeah, Kevin, I kind of had that feeling like almost instantaneous. Like, what is that? Oh, it's the dude with the giant dick.
I legitimately uncut was like, too. Paula, uncut it's the one. Giant dick. It's the giant dick. And she was like, what the fuck are you saying?
She was like, what's a giant dick? And Kevin's like, oh.
Why you gotta talk shit?
It was too easy a setup. Anyone would have gotten that. It was not just a Kev thing.
It was too easy. It was just, it was.
Thanks for defending him and kicking me off this show for no reason.
Kevin, you're on the show. Kev,
pop up as Cortana.
Really? Yeah, I'm on the show because I don't feel like it.
Pop up as Cortana and sing a little Vin Diesel for me. I'll pull the lyrics out for you.
I hate all of you so much.
I hate us too, Kevin. If it's any consolation, I'm on your side. I hate me too. There's a lot of, I think we touched over a lot of it. Actually, I briefly want to touch over some of these plot points. The first of which is, I'm sorry, Andy, I have a new top level plot song for you. It goes like this. Top level plot, plot. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the top level plot. We start off with Stormfront and Homelander crushing a man's face while she rubs his penis.
Yeah.
That's how we start this episode.
Fucking hot, right?
It is.
And it is crazy. We get introduced, of course, to the Sage Grove sender on Stormfront's computer, which they found. The Deep brings Maeve's camera from the wreckage, and so some shit's going to happen with that from that plane that crashed last season. Deep also recruits A-Train with a Fresca. And I'll tell you one thing right now, guys. Out of all the disturbing things in this show, offering people a Fresca before you induct them into a cult is probably the most unsettling thing. I don't know how you guys feel about this.
I agree.
Yeah. Let's see
what
else here.
I was kind of put off of that because I forgot that
the
Fresca was tied to the cult.
Yeah.
So when he walks up and says, would you like a Fresca? I thought it had something to do with Compound V. I thought it was a, like, you know, are they using this to traffic it? What a crazy thing to sort of, you know, kind of plant in viewers' minds in the earlier episodes to later pay off to something else. But then as soon as I saw him at that, you know, the... what do they call it? The ministry for whatever.
The Church of, I have it in here. So the Church of the Century. No, fuck.
Collective.
Church of the Collective.
Something but like that,
I'm right there with you guys where I was saying this last week when it came to even just the relationship between Huey and Starlight, where it's like these episodes have so much in them and focus on so many characters and keep moving and moving and moving that like when they make callbacks and references to prior plot points, even if it was in the last episode, sometimes I struggle to put it together. Contextually, you can put it a lot together. And I think with the Fresca, I'm with Andy where it's like, I knew they were referencing something. And then later when I see it, I'm like, okay, cool. That's what I thought. But it's like, it is kind of weird where it like kind of they expect a lot from us, and I'm fucking here for it because it's cool.
Yeah. You guys pay attention, baby doll. Of course, we get a lot of Frenchie's backstory here, and I'm just going to skip ahead. But Frenchie, it looks like, was you know, used to be a bank robber. He's very, very smart. He's good at subduing. I like how they show him, like, making a bomb out of what was the drug? Kevin, help me out here. What was the drug?
Xanax.
For that guy, and Mallory recruits him. And then, of course, he because one of his friends was ODing, we get the backstory that he left his post, and Lamplighter went to exact revenge on Mallory and accidentally burned her kids alive, which is very, very fucked up, and they both feel very bad about it. But I like that cathartic moment where they realize they've both, like, hated each other, and they both now kind of hate themselves more. And then we get some him kind of coming full circle with Kimiko, where he's like, I've been trying to save you to absolve my past transgressions, but I realize I can't do that now. And I just have to, like, come clean about all this stuff and leave you alone. And she's like, well, now I like you because you're not creepy anymore. You got good hair. Other than that, we get a bunch of stuff at Sage Grove. Sage Grove, in fact, is a place where Bobby from X-Men from Days of Future Past is there, except now he plays with fire now. And they're doing all sorts of experiments on adults, trying to get Compound V to work on adults. It works better in babies, but now they're trying to figure out how to stabilize it for adults, and they haven't quite figured it out yet. Bobby is just burning all of the evidence.
Did we know really quick that Bobby worked there?
No, not in the other episode. We saw him briefly in the other episode, and we're like, oh, yeah, that's interesting. But now we know he is Pyro from X-Men Days of Future Past. And
yeah, because even on the sort of hidden camera, even on the hidden camera sort of footage or whatever, where not the security footage, when they finally break in and they kill the security guy, and then all of the crew is sort of, like, watching all the cams in Sage Grove, and we see Stormfront walk into a room, and they're like, oh, fuck, Stormfront, she's in there. I didn't know that Bobby was in the room with them
I was going to say, don't they have a moment where Frenchie's like, I know that guy.
Yeah, I know that guy.
And it, like, punches in, and it's like, who the fuck is that?
But yeah, it's not until he burns the guy. He's not until he burns him, and he goes, holy fuck, that's Lamplighter. We have to go kill him. And then Blonde Lamp is like, we can't do that.
It's zoomed in on Stormfront, and she's like, trying to get the info out of him, and the guy's like, I just want to see my sister. She's like, all right, we can arrange that. And she gets pissed and she walks out, and the camera turns to Lamplighter. And at that moment, I didn't know if we had seen him before, but at that moment I was like, oh my god, he's here. Like, this is where the actual plot's gonna happen. Burning happens, and then, you know, all hell breaks loose later on in the coolest possible way.
Mm-hmm. Other than that, they break out, and of course one of the other soups that's being experimented on blows a butcher Starlight and Huey, and fucks up Huey, and he gets a little shrapnel in his side, which forces Starlight and Butcher to go to the road to find another car so she can ape the electricity and cauterize his wound so they can get in a hospital. And in doing so, unfortunately, she has to kill the dumb shit dork that decides to pull a gun on three people, one of whom is clearly the most famous superhero on the planet. But whatever, I digress. That's what you get when you match your belt exactly to your shoes, dorks. Just think about that. You get death. And then the most important part about this episode, I think, is that she doesn't feel any remorse for it. And Butcher gives her, like, the yeah. And she goes, don't fucking look at me like that. Don't give me the yeah. I don't want that cold look of approval from you. I'm nothing like you. And he's like, yeah. And she goes, yeah. We're fucking cool.
Their whole relationship and that whole thing, like, that goes to me with what Andy's saying about the writing in the show not really being that great, but it doesn't matter because it works for me, because it fits with what this world is, and, like, with these characters, like, we've seen them long enough now that we know Butcher, we know her, and putting them together, it's like, that's how they would act. I'm
yeah, fine with it. They have that really heartwarming moment in the hospital, kind of both looking at Huey, being like,
talking shit,
he can't quit you, and he can't quit you either, you know, like, I just I love that. You know, we're not so different after all, sort of thing. But I do want to quickly touch on the mutant that Butcher caps in the chest after he sort of, like, caused that whole thing. Because I just felt really bad for him. I felt bad for that kid.
I felt bad for him, man. Butcher was like, we're cool, man. We clearly don't work for this facility. Just keep fucking walking.
Keep moving, man.
Because I don't even think that he could control that. That's why I felt bad for him. Like, he kind of freaked out and did that thing and just sort of stood there. And Butcher was like, oh, fuck, you're dead now. But I felt really bad for him because this kid's know nothing. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ, Kevin.
What?
This kid's know nothing but torture and, you know, his whole life. And now he has to experience that.
No, yeah, but I feel like Kevin's right. Go ahead, Kevin.
I was just gonna say, I feel like he did it on purpose. Like, he was like, I'm scared, I don't know who you are, I'm gonna do this little blast to get you out of my way, and it fucked up Huey.
Yeah, it fucked up the van.
Yeah, oh man, the van's done. Not only that, Power Girl had no more powers.
Yeah. You're right. If someone did that to my Toyota Sienna, the future van that I'm going to buy for all of us, so we can all go on day trips together, I would be pissed and I would shoot that guy in the chest.
That sounds so exciting. I would love to go.
Remember when we rented the Sienna? We rented the Sienna for the spring break thing that we did. And we just rode around San Diego.
No, that wasn't the spring break. The Sienna was Kevin Smith's.
That's right.
It's been 3 years since that, because I got a reminder from on Instagram or Snapchat or something like that saying, like, it's been 3 years since this date. And it's Kevin. I'm going to post it on Twitter today. It's Kevin doing the craziest water slide down the fucking thing.
Crazy. God, that was so. Imagine us doing it now, blasting the new Vin Diesel song.
I'm so proud of how quickly I got a water slide.
Yeah, you're really good at it.
Yeah. Poor Kevin had to get up really early in the morning for that, but it was fucking worth it, man.
Worth it, dude.
There was just a little less space than we needed for the slide, which made it even better. It's always better when a water slide is slightly dangerous. Mm-hmm. Rounding out this episode, of course, we get a lot of information on Stormfront. Homelander confronts her because she lies to him about going to the thing, to Stagegrove, and then she comes clean. And man, her backstory is even fucking crazier than you think it is. She is, of course, a super Nazi. She was one of the original, or the original Compound V recipient that Vought, who was a Nazi scientist, gave to her, and she has now been waiting for a very, very long time to find her her super counterpart, which is Homelander. Together, of course, they the whole big plot that she's going to do is she wants to make a super army of, I presume, an Aryan nation, so that they can take back what is rightfully theirs, their position in the world as the superiors. It is super scary. She has a crazy moment where she gets super heartfelt with him, and you're like, wow, she's nailing the courage of her convictions here, which makes it even scarier. And Homelander's just like, she rubs my peepee. So,
dude, she's so fucking dope. Continues to be such a standout in this show. And the thing that I love about the show is the reveals constantly, and the way that they start talking about when they're looking through the pictures, and she's talking about specific people's names, and then she's like, yeah, and then the big guy, whatever, and it's like obviously alluding to Hitler, but then you see it, and you're like, that's not Hitler, and then they reveal that it's the Vought founder. It's like that is so fucking smart. So smart.
It's so cool for her to say, here's this old lady, your grandmother, no, this is my daughter, blah blah blah. And then the way she pronounced Berlin in a very German way, I went, oh my god, dude, she had a couple
moments where she slipped into like an old school accent like that I was like, that's a really good touch. Really good touch for her. And then of course we see that the crazy super from the asylum, Stagegrove, actually has escaped, and she's walking down the street. She's got the cool bald head. Whenever someone has a bald head and they're like dirty face and they have that dangerous look, it's cool to me.
Oh, it's Jack from Mass Effect 2, man. It's Jack from Mass Effect 2. Bald and crazy, gonna explode shit everywhere.
And then the episode ends with A-Train's rap, which I think is one of the best parts of this episode, when she's showing it to him and it's just a random like white dude saying the lines in the cadence so he can understand it.
I think it's a YouTuber. I couldn't find the name, but I'm pretty sure I recognize him from something.
It reminds me of any time Tim's had to get me to rap, because he has to do the same thing where he's like, Nick, this is how it goes. Like $1 million, a million more. And I'm like, I don't understand how that works.
I don't know the cadence.
I don't get the rhythm and rhyme.
Dude, shout out to A-Train. Like, he's a character that maybe like partway through season one, I was like, all right, let's just wrap this up. I'm done with you. And him being back in season two, I was like, I'm surprised we're getting as much as we are. And like the way that they're continuing the storylines of characters like him in the deep, I'm just like, how are you both still relevant where I'm interested in what's going to happen to you? Like, freaking awesome show.
Well, as the deep and A-Train sort of meet again back on that film lot, and he's like, what are you doing here? First off, I love Deep walking up to him, be like, yo, what's up, my man? He's like, I'm over here. I'm right here. Like, it's just,
yeah, it's like, it's me. It's your boy. It's like,
such
a
good comedic actor. And as I was watching it, I thought, man, Channing Tatum would have also been awesome in this role.
Like, just Channing Tatum would have been.
Just the fucking airhead himbo dude. Like, it would have been perfect.
Oh, man. I love it.
Well, there you are, ladies and gentlemen. Any last minute thoughts on this episode, episode 6?
No, man. Perfect. I thought it was great. Two more to go. Can't wait.
Next week's episode, Butcher, Baker, and Candlestick Maker. We'll be reviewing that next Friday here on Internet Explorers Cross Screencast and KFAF Returns. I think that's good. We do have a couple quick submissions for you guys. If you guys want to submit your thoughts on next week's episode, or really the Vin Diesel album as well, please go over to patreon.com/kindoffunny, back us at the fan mail, or excuse me, at the $5 tier above, and that'll get you access to sending us your comments here. Just like Mario 8th did you guys know Vin Diesel put out an album? And then he gave me the link to it, and I was so excited to talk about that today. And Tim, you came through for me. Brandon says, the boys are doing a great job of showing how U.S. Homelander became seduced by fascism and white supremacy from Stormfront through the proliferation of memes, false truths, and propaganda, the allure of power and privilege to enable nationalism and patriotism despite the loss of morality, justice, and truth. Pretty good representation of our current political climate. They definitely are drawing inspiration from that for sure. If you guys want some more Anthony Starr, says Gus, in your life, check out a show called Banshee. It's a pulp action show with real John Wick vibes in terms of fights and criminal underworld / society. He plays a sheriff with a shady past and is a bit more redeemable than Homelander. God, I hope so, because Homelander is a psychopathic murderer. Pretty hard to redeem him. If they can bring him back, it'll be like a Jamie Lannister style redemption.
It's impossible. I don't know what's gonna happen. It's impossible.
Cool, guys. I think that's it. Did I forget anything? I'm all disheveled. No, I think we're good.
Jaysha021 in the chat says something that I thought was really funny too. The funniest line was when Homelander blew off Stormfront by saying he had to go practice his lines with Black Noir.
Oh yeah, that's funny. That's really funny. Cool, guys. Well, hey, thank you for joining us on this Internet Explorers cross screencast. We'll be back next week, but until then, stay streamy, my friends.